Today is Friday, June 15th, the year 2001. I'm Jeff Johnley, interviewing the Honorable Robert Traxler, former Michigan Congressman and also former member and chairperson of the MSU Board of Trustees. We're at the Traxler Summer Home on beautiful Mackinac Island in northern Michigan. This interview is part of MSU Sesquicentennial Oral History Project, commemorating the 150th anniversary of the university coming up in the year 2005. Mr. Traxler, you can see we've got a tape recorder here today for this session. Do you give us permission to tape the interview?
Certainly do.
I'd like to start with some general questions about your personal background, your educational background. Where were you born and raised, and where did you go to high school?
Cock Hall in Michigan, just outside of Bay City, is my little hometown. My father was a small farmer and a rural mail carrier. My mother was a housewife. Attended high school in Bay City, T.L. Handy High School. It's now an intermediate school through consolidation. I next went to the Bay City Community Junior College, yes. And I was there for 2 years, transferred my junior year to Michigan State. Finished there in 1953. Did a military service of 2 years in the U.S. Army in Germany. Returned to Michigan State for a year and used that time to come to some career decisions. I think when you're faced with a draft situation as a senior, you're really not thinking about the future very much because it's short term, definitely.
My number in for the Vietnam War was 19.
So, you know exactly what I was
saying. In 1972, I was in a similar situation.
While I was at State that year, which was beginning with the summer of 55, I decided to go to law school and attended Detroit College of Law, which I think is an interesting fact due to DCL having merged with Michigan State University now, and I was very pleased as a member of the board to participate in that matter. Following law school, I returned to Bay City and became an assistant prosecutor for 2 years and was elected to the State House of Representatives and began my service there January 1 of 1963 with George Romney as the governor, and served in the Michigan House as a majority floor leader and subsequently chairman of the House Judiciary Committee for a couple of years before running in a special election in 1973 for the U.S. Congress. I was a so-called Watergate baby. And upon entering the Congress, I was appointed to the House Appropriations Committee and served there during virtually my entire time in the U.S. House of Representatives. And that was for a period of 18 years. I left the Congress January 1, 1993, declined to seek re-election. Was elected to the MSU board in November of 92, assuming office in January of 93. So I went on for 8 more years of elected public service, nearly 8 years, because in August of the last year of my term in 2000, the governor appointed me to the Mackinac Island State Park Commission in return for my resignation from the board. And since I had only a few months left, I thought that was a fair trade. I've been a Mackinac person for too many years, and I'm enjoying my work, of course, on the commission, which is not very substantial, but terribly interesting.
What's that term?
I'll finish out an unfinished term. The term is for 6 years, and I've got 4 years left.
We'll jump back. That otherwise would be a short interview. when you were in high school, what was it that what was your field that you were interested in studying?
I was
when you went on to college.
I was really undecided, and it really wasn't until I got to MSU that I made a career decision that I wanted to major in political science and history, and that was based on gravitating to those subjects which were the easiest for me and which I had the greatest interest in. I'd always been interested in politics and government, and indeed my father had taught me that government service was next to the clergy in terms of its importance to our society.
Mm-hmm.
And I have always recalled that and found that government service to be really one of the most enjoyable and personal rewarding of any experience that I've ever had. I sometimes feel very sorry for others that they haven't had the opportunity to really serve both the state and the nation in terms of doing what one can to improve a lot of fellow man. In that sense, it's kind of related to what the clergy do, I suspect.
But when you first arrived on campus of Michigan State, or maybe I should go back a little bit earlier, as a high school student, did you have any contact with MSU? Did you ever have
not
visits?
Not in those years, no.
No, okay.
No,
all right,
so. No, college. When I was a high school student, I was the first person in my family to go to college.
Mm-hmm.
And that was really a kind of a distant goal, even though I was on the college prep program. I was quite undecided because of financial reasons
mm-hmm.
as to where I would go. And so the local, at that time, junior college, mm-hmm. now Delta Community College, the junior mm-hmm. college, by the way, had an outstanding reputation across the state. And I received, a very fine basic education there. That was the thing, the finances of that and living at home permitted me and my family to save money so that I could attend Michigan State for the last 2 years.
Mm-hmm. When you arrived on campus in the early 1950s, what was the campus like?
Well, very different from today.
Mm-hmm.
The student population was less than half of what it is today. The North Campus was principally where everything was. Shaw Hall had been constructed on the south side of the river, but principally the dairy barns were over there, and the agriculture department school sort of ran everything
mm-hmm.
On that side of the river, except for Shaw. And the university was deeply involved in preparing for the centennial in 1955.
Mm-hmm.
So we're 50 years later.
Did you have any contact with President Hanna as a student?
Very casual.
Mm-hmm.
the person that I knew best was Dean King.
Mm-hmm.
And the fraternity I belonged to, we seemed to have a propensity for being in violation of college regulations. And so Dean King occasionally visited the fraternity and saw to it that we were on social probation for 2 years.
Well, you were there. What fraternity were you a member of?
Kappa Sigma.
Okay. What of your professors when you were at MSU, were any memorable, or did they have a lasting influence, or for good or bad?
Oh, there was Professor Fisher.
Mm-hmm.
There was that indomitable great lover of MSU and recounter of lots of stories. Walter Adams was my favorite. Mm-hmm. Even though I was not an economics major mm-hmm. and had little interest in economics because of the perception that I had at that time in my life that economists didn't understand the world.
Mm-hmm.
And as a young socialist, I thought that wealth came from labor. They, of course, argued that it came from capital. I've never seen such a bunch of biased bigots in my entire life. And they still think that.
So Walter Adams was, you had him for a variety of courses? Or just?
I just had him for one.
One.
And mm-hmm. Walter was a kind of a professor that left an impact on you.
Mm-hmm.
And, of course, he was very progressive in his thoughts. I had him for a course called War Economics, and he mm-hmm. the purpose of the class was to demonstrate how the military-industrial complex ripped off the taxpayer
mm-hmm.
Through procurement
mm-hmm.
and the purchasing of ordinary items.
Mm-hmm.
We became friends, and he would stop in and visit me in Washington. He lectured at the War College in Washington. He'd come in usually once a year.
Mm-hmm.
And I suspect that he was sort of the flip side of every other person they had lecturing.
Colonel's a different view from him.
Mm-hmm.
The your military service, when you served in Germany?
Yes.
Did you go ROTC or were you commissioned?
No, because I attended the junior college, mm-hmm. where there was no ROTC, I wasn't eligible for the program at Michigan State. I was a buck-ass private in the rear ranks.
What, you served in Germany in,
yes.
in occupation time?
Well, we were
a little bit later.
We were sort of guests. I was mm-hmm. there in 1954 mm-hmm. and 55. Portions of those years, and we were more looked upon as the guests of the German government.
Mm-hmm. Where did you actually serve?
Originally I was in Kaiserslautern. Well, excuse me. They moved me around a bit. My unit moved. Principally, I was in a town called Kaiserslautern, mm-hmm. which was a quiet, rural-type atmosphere, and Kaiserslautern was the not one of the prominent German cultural centers, mm-hmm. shall we say, at sort of the backwaters of Germany, in a sense. Mm-hmm. The proper Germans didn't think they spoke very good German there. They mm-hmm. thought they were without culture, and, although they did have a wonderful opera house mm-hmm. and a great performing group.
Was that your first time overseas?
Yes, mm-hmm. and it had a profound impact on mm-hmm. me. I traveled, I was able to travel quite extensively as a on leave, and I had a month, and I think that was very important for me to get a perspective of the world and different people and how they saw the United States and how I saw them, and it was most interesting, mm-hmm. very helpful in formulating my philosophies in later years.
Mm-hmm. The was there anything else about your military service that you thought of?
No, no, except it took the, I think it knocked a lot of the idealism mm-hmm. out, I found out that it was very difficult to be successful against a huge bureaucracy mm-hmm. that's able to impose its will upon you, mm-hmm. and that if you're at all to survive, you have to learn the rules and follow them, mm-hmm. Maintaining as much of your self-respect and dignity as you possibly can. Mm-hmm. Actually, I looking back on it, I don't think I said thought this at the time. Looking back on it, I think it was probably two of the more formative years that I've ever spent. Mm-hmm. I became acquainted with large numbers of people. You know, we talk about the diversity on campus, but there's nothing to compare with the diversity of the military when a draft is on, because mm-hmm. you truly do get a cross-section of America. Mm-hmm. I mean, you're living with them, you're sleeping with them. You all have the same issues, the same problem. I know those people better than their mothers did.
Mm-hmm. What was your duty in the Army?
Pardon me?
What was your MOS, or your what did you actually do?
I was the battalion supply clerk.
Okay.
I was a private mm-hmm. battalion supply clerk.
Doesn't appear high on your resume.
That sounds impressive.
Yeah.
Battalion supply clerk, good God.
When you decided not to stay longer than 2 years in the military.
In fact, I even applied for a 60-day early release.
Uh-huh, uh-huh.
And I always recall the first sergeant saying, "Traxler, you're going home in 60 days. What's this application?" You know, I made it 90 days, of mm-hmm. course, filed it. And he said, "You're only going to be out about 60 days early. Every second counts." Freedom.
But that perspective must have helped later on when you were in Congress, when you were on veterans committees, or
yeah,
at least it.
Truly, one of the early subcommittees I served on was the Military Construction Subcommittee, and of course we had all kinds of generals marching in and out of there, and it was very helpful to to me to have the experience of being a private and getting saluted by generals in there. Later life. Not quite saluted, but deferred to, shall we say.
When you came back, when you got out of service and you came back to Michigan State, had it changed in those couple years at all, or was it?
Well, it was a year of the centennial.
Mm-hmm. Okay.
A lot of activities on campus,
right.
And the Water Carnival was still going on.
Mm-hmm.
My fraternity in 53, my graduation year, won the Water Carnival first prize for a float.
Mm-hmm.
So that was a great evening of celebration. And I think looking at 55, it hadn't been so much that the campus had changed in those 2 years. I think the students were beginning to move towards the 60s.
Mm-hmm.
And the Beatles were coming. Trying to recall, who was that silly character that shook his hips and strummed the guitar? Got it all going.
Elvis.
Was it Elvis? Elvis. Elvis was coming.
Yeah.
And I think I noticed this more. I came back for a football game and stayed at the fraternity house in 1958, fall of 58, maybe 59. And I was absolutely shocked. I mean, these students were so young. even though I had been out, mm-hmm. Been there less than 3 or 4 years earlier, the music was very different. Their attitudes were very different. And I was only there 2 nights. I mean, I truly knew that I had achieved adult status and that there was no going back to college days.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah.
I've talked with other people who mentioned the Water Carnival, but I haven't really talked with anyone who participated, actually.
Oh, yeah.
So what was it about? I mean, that's not there now, or it went,
no,
went away in the 60s. What was it?
Well, at that time, the various housing units on campus participated in building floats on steel drums. And the float would, there was a theme for the Water Carnival each year.
Mm-hmm.
And your float related to the theme. And I don't recall the theme for 1953, but I recall our float. It was a carriage.
Mm-hmm.
And I must say it was well done, well made. And in any event, it took first place.
And you just floated down the Red Cedar?
You just floated down the Cedar.
Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm. Students were lined up along.
Yeah, they had bleachers. Mm-hmm. And it drew the community.
Who did the judging? Was it just a mini group?
I think they had a group, you know, typically they would have off-campus people.
Mm-hmm.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, celebrities and that sort of stuff.
Uh-huh. And Greek life also. I haven't interviewed anyone who was a fraternity member at the time. So this will be the first one.
I don't think things have changed in terms of fraternities.
Uh-huh.
I think my fraternity years... really made a direct connection with the university because the people that I lived with in that house are still my best friends today.
Mm-hmm.
And our association with the university is homecoming, go to the fraternity house, so there they are,
mm-hmm.
Look through some of the old scrapbooks, and realized how prominent, shall I say, we were in terms of maintaining a scrapbook during the years that we were there.
Mm-hmm.
And it's still there today.
Mm-hmm.
And I think it's the best.
So is the house the same place?
No. The house was sold. The fraternity went deactive for a period of a couple of years and finally got started back up again. I can't tell you what those years were. I sort of lost track with them. While I was working on my career, it was very difficult being in the Congress and trying to get back and do things on weekends when I had other commitments in the district or in Washington. I get over there occasionally.
Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm. When you came back to Michigan State and then you said you made the decision to go into law, what was involved in that? You were going into teaching?
No. I had come back to Michigan State to work on a teaching certificate.
Okay, all right.
That was starting in 55.
Mm-hmm.
And as I took the education courses, and I was also paralleling that with some additional political science classes, and I became a research assistant and did some things relating to the law. My professor was particularly interested in doing research on amicus curiae briefs, and he wanted... My assignment was to interview a selected group of lawyers in the Lansing area and ask them about amicus curiae, whether or not they'd ever intervened, had they filed a brief on behalf of any client or any interest. And it was, I really had been thinking about the law, but it was sort of an aspiration beyond, I mean, I wasn't focused on it.
Mm-hmm.
And I realized that I wasn't going to be a teacher, even though I had kind of liked the idea in a sense, but I was really almost preordained to be in politics. I mean, my father thought that politics, again, was one of the highest callings, and he voted every year, and I'd go to the polls with him when I was a boy, and he ran his own voter identification program and took little widows, as long as they were Republican. He was a classic rural farm Republican whose greatest hero was Theodore Roosevelt.
Mm-hmm.
And he loved Abraham Lincoln because Abraham Lincoln had freed the slaves.
Mm-hmm.
And that was critical. It's part of his very being was the sense of equality among men. And that was an important historic event for him. And he liked Theodore Roosevelt because Theodore Roosevelt represented a force on behalf of the little people, as he called them, the little people, and opposed the monopolies. Now, the railroads, the Rockefeller monopoly of oil. He was not a laissez-faire Republican, even though he had great reservations about Roosevelt, because Roosevelt, with his efforts to revitalize the nation's economy, injected, from my father's standpoint, too much statism, and the idea of killing little pigs. I think that was sort of a war cry for the Republicans at that time.
Mm-hmm.
How could you slaughter little pigs, the innocents?
and
that troubled my father. He thought that farmers should produce, and that there ought not to be any kinds of artificial constraints placed upon them, even if you could make a strong case that would be healthy for the small farmer.
Mm-hmm. Did the Depression shake any of those views?
No, he was a rural mail carrier, so he came through the Depression relatively unscathed.
Mm-hmm.
He didn't go without any checks. He always had a job there. And he retired in the late 30s after 35 years of carrying the mail.
Mm-hmm. When did you become politically active in the Democratic Party?
During my law school years.
Mm-hmm.
Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm. In my college years, principally it was a plague on both parties, and I thought that the government ought to own the basic means of production and transportation. Government should own the steel mills. Government ought to own the mines.
Mm-hmm.
And government, I was sort of a Fabian socialist.
Mm-hmm.
And I think when my first ballot was for Adlai Stevenson, even though I wanted to vote it for the socialist candidate, I knew he couldn't win. And I liked Adlai Stevenson because of his rationality. He had just some of the best speeches that probably of any recent candidate for the presidency. He was my favorite. Yeah.
Would you talk a little bit about Detroit College of Law and your experiences there?
Well, I think the DCL, of course, was a downtown Detroit law school.
Mm-hmm.
And it was a private school and had a reputation for its graduates being the highest percentage passing the state bar exam, for whatever that's worth.
Mm-hmm.
DCL doesn't do that well currently, for whatever reasons. But it was an interesting experience there. DCL had a whole wide... I better get...
We're talking about Detroit College of Law and your experience there.
Yeah, I think by the point in time that I became a law student, and I was very fortunate, I had the GI Bill of Rights, which paid my tuition and gave me a stipend to live on, and I carefully husbanded that $100 a month that I received. I think by the time I was a law student, I'd pretty well decided that I was interested in politics as a career, and that law was an excellent means of supporting myself as a candidate or between political offices, or in the event I was a failure as a candidate, then as a career of and by itself, because I truly loved the law.
Mm-hmm.
It's my second second love, first being politics and government.
Then after graduation, you went back to Bay City, or went to Bay City?
I was appointed an assistant prosecutor in Bay City.
Okay.
Which was an excellent stepping stone for other, to an elected position, mm-hmm. namely the state legislature.
Okay. What about that first election? Did you?
Well, it was interesting. The county was malapportioned. Now, this was 1962, and we did not have the concept of one vote, one man by the state U.S. Supreme Court, and the county was in a legislative district at that point. And it had it wasn't evenly divided. It tilted slightly towards the Republicans. And we hadn't had a Democrat state representative there since the Depression. And that person only served two years. So it was quite challenging to get elected. But because of the contacts that I'd made as a prosecutor in the 2 years I was there, assistant prosecutor, and the fact that I came from a rural part of the county and my father was well known as a farmer and rural mailman, I had a strong base of support in the Republican part of the county. And of course, the Democrat areas, the ethnic areas, the Poles, the French, supported me, and the Irish supported me very strongly. Mm-hmm. And consequently, I won by, I think it was 1,800 votes, and went on to serve 11 years, 12 years, something like that, in the mm-hmm. state house.
What was service in the House like at that time?
I think for me it was just challenging and interesting, and I wasn't on the Appropriations Committee, so I lived in the world of ideas. Mm-hmm. And I was a majority floor leader my second term, mm-hmm. and that got me involved in all kinds of policy issues, making decisions about what was going to be scheduled on the floor, mm-hmm. Working with other members to get their bills out of committee. That was the Democrat landslide of 1964, Lyndon Johnson's mm-hmm. landslide. Mm-hmm. And we controlled the House almost by two-thirds vote. And I was the majority floor leader at that time. The House flipped back Republican at the end of those 2 years mm-hmm. when the Democrats stayed home in 1966. Mm-hmm. Nationwide, the Democrats took a beating. Things were too good. Mm-hmm. And there's an old saying that if a Democrat has a full belly, he has an empty head. So prosperity really was the Democrats' worst enemy. Mm-hmm. But this was the first Democrat legislature since 2 years in the early 30s. Mm-hmm. And there was a lot of legislation to do. The Republicans principally believed in no government, not less, just no government. They hadn't done anything of any consequence in years and years. And we had a lot of new members who were very proactive and receptive to ideas. And we unlike the current legislature, we really worked 10, 11 months out of the year. Mm-hmm. I can recall leaving on the 4th of July as the sun was coming up. It was about 5:30. And walking out of the Capitol after an all-night session to wrap up the appropriation bills and some other needed legislation.
What was it like working with? Did you work with Governor Swainson?
No.
No. Okay. So
George
Romney.
Okay. Yes. Yeah. Yes. Romney was governor.
Mm-hmm. What was it like working?
I truly enjoyed it. Mm-hmm. He had good staffing. Mm-hmm. You know, by comparison to today's Republican, he was very moderate, mm-hmm. quite progressive. Mm-hmm. I mean, he fought for a state income tax. Mm-hmm. Imagine that. A Republican fighting for an income tax? Mm-hmm. But there was an element of reform within his tax program. Mm-hmm. It was further enhanced. I can recall sitting at the table with him, with Bill Ryan, who was the principal negotiator on behalf of the Democrats. And Bill was an old UAW negotiator from Detroit. He was a Jesuit school. He had an immense amount of patience. And he and Romney would sit there for a couple of hours, literally, talking about the finer points, and each of them making a case for or against the other's idea. And it was all done I think by today's standards, it was a very civilized process, very congenial, and it was the issues that mattered. Mm-hmm. And no one went away, or came to the table for that matter, with a sense that the person on the other side of the table was an enemy, mm-hmm. a traitor, someone who was doing great disservice to the nation. That is today's politics. Mm-hmm. American politics have always been, I think, really, really rough. If you look at some of the old campaigns in the last century, but at the same time, when those campaigns were over, people got things done. Mm-hmm. And my years in the Congress, at least the early and the middle years, before the right wingers got there, my best friends were among the Republicans. Not all my best friends, but I had numerous Republicans who were very good friends, and still are today. Mm-hmm. But you know, I don't know that people in the Congress or the legislature today can say that.